Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, and there is a lot of news today, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. Anthony Bandiero, attorney with Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com, and he is the man when it comes to search and seizure. He's the man already. You know, but he, especially when you're talking search and seizure. So thanks for being on the show, Anthony. We miss having you. And also we have Lieutenant Randy Sutton, retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. So thank you, gentlemen. And also a shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million people right now during the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You can go there, you get cool shirts and gear and coffee mug like the one behind me, the shirt that I'm wearing there as well. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns from the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian, and Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com. And lastly, but not necessarily lastly, Travis H with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? The starter is going to be the Glove Challenge. We are going to be announcing the winners on the Glove Challenge first, and then we're going to be talking about shock and awe in Tehran. Yeah, we're talking about Iran. Also, potential terrorism investigated after a Sunday morning shooting in Texas left three people dead. We've got after a suspect is accused of injuring an NYPD officer with snowballs, the DA lessens the charges. Yeah, and Randy, I'm sure we'll have some input on that. We have a man in critical condition after a shootout with police. His bullet hits the officer's hat. We got a couple of videos that are just, you know, outstanding, but they have to be slowed down to see what happens. It's just incredible. Then we have a body cam, another one of a Baltimore police officer's plural. They fatally shoot a 37-year-old guy during a foot chase. And then we've got California officer cleared at a man's death resulting from a beanbag round. And I remember when we covered this initially, and the last beanbag round fired, I think it was the fifth one, it penetrated the guy's chest, and he ended up bleeding out. And so we got body cam shows the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department deputies fatally shooting a guy during a narcotics investigation. And so I don't know that, I don't think we're going to have time to get to all those because the first topic is going to take a little bit of time, but I'm looking forward to covering it. So look, let's start off with the Glove Challenge. Just for to refresh everybody's memory, we came up with an idea. When I say we, it was myself, Jeff Nicholas, who's the CEO of Compliant Technologies that has the Glove, and also Randy Sutton, the founder of the Wounded Blue. So we decided to all three to get together, and here's the way it worked. Jeff's company, they have the Glove, and they're trying to get, you know, in the door of more and more law enforcement agencies. Randy has the charity, thewoundedblue.org, and with Leo Roundtable, we've got the people. So we went to SHOT Show in January, and during SHOT Show, we have Dan Dela Cruz, which is works with Jeff and for Jeff with Compliant Technology. So Dan Dela Cruz gloved both myself and Travis Yates on a Thursday, and it was recorded and timed. And whoever lasted the longest is going to win a pair of gloves, and they can donate it to an agency of their choice because an individual cannot own the glove. It has to be owned by an agency. And also the person that donated to the Wounded Blue, the most amount of money in the name of the person that ended up winning the challenge also gets a pair of gloves. So that is typically going to be civilian, as it is in this case. And again, they would donate it to an agency that would be trained and be able to carry the gloves. So it's a win-win. So two pair of gloves are being given away. And it's exciting stuff. So anyhow, so the challenge between myself and Travis, if it hadn't been for a timer, you would not have been able to know who lasted longer. We were both trying to resist and not comply for as long as we could. It's an amazing product. The electricity running, it doesn't really run through your body. It's isolated. We both got grabbed in the same place. I was standing and Travis was sitting down like he was like driving in a car. And you know, to mimic like a vehicle extraction. And I beat out Travis by a fraction of a second. I mean, you wouldn't know if they would have told me Travis won and he beat me out by a fraction, I would have believed it because it was just that close. So but
how long did you last?
About a second. It was just over a second. I think it was one point something. Yeah. Oh yeah. Dude. Dude, you have no idea. Yeah. Cause you can't even think. I mean, we had a safe word. Travis said, look, he was a little nervous about doing this, and I volunteered to go first, and he wanted to get a safe word so that Dan De La Cruz would let go of us when we used a safe word. And so Travis came up with a word called, it was no, N-O, and I couldn't remember it. That's how good the glove works. I couldn't remember the stupid word. I knew that there was a word. I just couldn't remember it because I was focused on getting this freaking, I had this electricity going in my hand and my wrist, and that's all I could think about, you know? So yeah, it works. So yeah, if you're in a car and you've got a gun between your legs and you're thinking about shooting the cop, as soon as they do that, dude, that thought is out the freaking window. That's not coming back in your brain. So that means that, let me go to the person that donated. So we had some donations to the Wounded Blue. Now, the person that won was very strategic, and the person that won, and I know the person that won, it turns out, because that person is a regular watching on the show and contributing and stuff. And that person donated to both me in my name and in Travis's name, just to maximize the possibility that he would end up winning the glove, and it worked. So, Michael von Slock, MVS, you are a winner of a brand new pair of gloves. They're valued, I think, at $2,000 now, and so you will be able to donate those to an agency of your choice. I'm going with Tampa. And so I'm looking forward, to meeting with them. We've got a date set up and we're going to be going there and doing that. So I'm very excited. So that's the way it went down. So I got a pair that's going to Tampa Police, MVS in Northwest Colorado. I don't know who you're donating to. I can't wait to find out. And I'm not looking at the, actually I can pop over here to the Rumble and see, but he said, thank you. You're very welcome. And you'll be in touch with Jeff Nicholas from Compliant Technologies as well. But congratulations.
I have a question for you. So you have two gloves on, and both of them work the same way. I mean, you use your left hand or your right hand, you're gonna give that charge.
Correct. Yeah, and you only need. I mean, you get two gloves, but I only had one administered to me, and dude, that was enough. Yeah.
Crazy.
And you can still fire a gun and do everything you normally can do with the glove on, which is the great thing. So you don't wear it 24/7, but when you're going out on the call, you throw it on when you're getting out of the car and stuff, because you never know when you're gonna have to go hands on and stuff. So it's just
or when you're going out on a date.
Yeah,
just I'm still yeah. I still use handcuffs for dates. I'm just old school. I like the I like the I heard the glove has an AED mode. Is that true, Chip?
I wish. No.
Yeah,
no.
I think you need it at your age. I'm worried about you, Chip. when you do these freaking, you know, contest. I worry about you at your age, but
there's no after effects. Not really.
Yeah. So, yeah. Exactly.
it's one of those things where I was glad when I was glad I didn't want to do it again. You know, I didn't want to do it again.
That's a lifetime experience. It's all right.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a believer.
At least until next year.
Dude, don't say that. Yeah, Randy might be taking the ride with me next year. And then we go, and I get a phone call from Randy. And just before we get to Vegas, because Randy was talking about doing it, he's headed over to Minneapolis. And I'm thinking, is he really going there because of what's going on in Minneapolis? Or is he going there so he can avoid getting gloved? You know, I wasn't entirely sure on that. So, but well, if you guys are ready, we've got some stuff going on in the U.S. Over the weekend. Wow, what a way to wake up on Saturday morning, huh? So let's. What I'm going to do is we'll talk about this, but I just want to go over the headlines. Most people, I mean, you'd have if you weren't aware of what was going on, you'd have to be under a rock, right? I mean, it's just everybody pretty much knows what's going on. But let me just go, and I'm having a little bit of a computer issue here, so let me see if I can get this thing figured out here. But while my computer is figuring out what it wants to do, let me just go and start off talking about this. So we're talking about the U.S. and Israel bombing the crap out of Iran, and they were in negotiations to try to get Iran to stop seeking to enrich uranium, to get weapons grade uranium. And I believe that last I heard, they were at about 90% enrichment, which is scary, because I think you only need 60%, for what you're going to do on the civilian side anyhow. So anyhow, that's what happened. And Israel and the U.S. got together because, you know, I also read that we even offered Iran an unlimited amount of not weapons grade, but uranium to get them through for their reactors and for, you know, energy and all that stuff. And they turned us down. And if they really would have been, you know, honest about not going for weapons grade, they would have immediately said yes to that. So that's what happened. And I don't have the titles up in front of me. I'm going to take one more stab and see if I get the titles to come up here real quick here on my computer. And yes, I have them. So the sources are, and I got only about a minute and a half, but the sources are Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, the first 11 articles, and then we got TruthBasedMedia.com. But on this, we've got Shock and Awe in Tehran, U.S. and Israel launched major combat operations in Iran, and then we got Operation Epic Fury. It triggers a six-nation conflict as Iran retaliates against U.S. bases. And they kind of get a little descriptive there. They talk about the tactical reality on the ground shifted instantly on Saturday as Iranian missiles and drone swarms began slamming into the U.S. military installations across the Arabian Peninsula. Talks about the UAE, and I think it's Bahrain, B-A-H-R-A-I-N, Qatar, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and also Israel. And then they say, from no war to epic fury, Trump officials passed anti-war pledges collide with Iran strike. So, and that's an interesting topic that we'll get to in a second. We're kind of gearing up for commercial break, but when we come back, we'll talk about, they're saying people changed their tune, but did they really? We'll talk about that in a second as we talk about this war. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing. That I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back, Leo Roundtable, leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by attorney Anthony Bandera with bluethegold.com and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton with the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. And gentlemen, we left off talking about the conflict between the U.S. and Israel and Iran, and it's basically the U.S. just trying to save the Middle East. But, you know, when we left off, there was a title that we talked about, and it was talking about the people that it talked about, Shock and Awe, Operation Epic Fury, but it also talked about people being upset because some people are changing their tune, so to speak. So I'm trying to find this one here. It says that there were some people that were it says, from no war to epic fury, Trump officials past anti-war pledges collide with Iran strikes. So what they're saying is that the people that have been saying, you know, we don't want war, Trump has been preaching peace and peace through strength, and now all of a sudden, you know, we do the Venezuela thing, we're, you know, shooting down drug boats that are leaving Cuba and stuff, and now of course we do this war in Iran, and they're saying that it doesn't make, they just can't make sense of it, right? So I was hoping you guys might jump on that, and I don't really see it as a conflict at all, but I do see that Trump, it seemed like a little flabbergasted because during the negotiations with Iran, and we've already mentioned a couple of things that happened during the negotiations, it's not like you're dealing with reasonable people or people that think like us, right? You would think that if it's going to be certain death, the people would say, okay, I give up, you know, but of course you're not really, you're dealing with people that from the moment they were birthed, they've had people whispering in the ear, death to America, you know, death to the infidel, you know, and this is just, you know, right or wrong, you know, that's just the way it is. Do you guys see a conflict of interest between what Trump is doing now and what they've been preaching? Randy?
Well, he's been very clear. I mean, anybody that thinks that Trump isn't going to follow up on what he says they're living in a dreamland. I mean, he's been preaching peace. He has done everything to bring Iran to the table to negotiate in good faith. But let's look at their track record. Okay, they're the ones who you know began killing Americans. They're the ones who were behind the Lebanon attack on our Marines, killing many. They're the ones that have fostered terrorism throughout the world. They're responsible for killing more people than we can even count. They will not and absolutely will not negotiate in good faith about anything. But the United States is a little complicit because we have had presidents that have acquiesced to them and have literally flown money to them and you know made sanctions that were then lifted. In every possible way, America has tried to negotiate in good faith with the Ayatollah Khomeini, and they're incapable of doing it. They have no desire for peace. They want war.
I have more headlines, but wasn't it Obama and Hillary Clinton that flew billions over and gave them enriched uranium as well? Yeah.
Oh, they gave Hillary gave Russia the uranium.
It wasn't Iran?
No, it was Russia.
Okay. All right. I may have been off on that one then. So but I like my version better.
But if you think that Russia didn't give them uranium, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. So then we've got an announcement in the news saying that Supreme Leader Khamenei confirmed dead following targeted strike on Tehran compound. And that was like icing on the cake, right? And then we got Khamenei is dead. Trump hails obliteration of Iranian regime, offers ultimatum to the IRGC. And it is Trump's announcement included the final stark warning to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Iranian police forces, claiming that, now remember, all these guys have been, there's estimations of 40,000 demonstrators that have been killed. So he's offering them, claiming that many security forces are already seeking immunity from the United States. The president reiterated the previous night's ultimatum. Now they can have immunity from all the stuff that we're talking about. Later, they only get death. So go for the immunity now. If you don't, you're going to be dead. He expressed hope that the IRGC would peacefully merge with the Iranian patriots to rebuild the country, but stressed that the military pressure would remain uninterrupted until his objectives are met. And I know that we're hearing estimates of like the bombing campaign continuing for at least a week or so. Then we've got Middle East teeters on edge after strikes kill Iran's supreme leader. U.S. forces sink Iranian warship as the door opens for a new Middle East. And then we got three U.S. service members killed as Operation Epic Fury escalates. Unfortunately, we have three U.S. service members killed in action and five others got serious injuries during ongoing engagements during the operation. And that was from U.S. Central Command. Then Operation Epic Fury, nine dead in Pakistan because they stormed the U.S. consulate after the death of the Khamenei. And it goes on. It says that chaos erupted across Pakistan on Sunday as demonstrators reacted to the confirmed death of the Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. And it says that leading to a deadly confrontation at the consulate in Karachi. It says that local authorities and hospital officials confirmed that at least nine people were killed, over 50 injured after hundreds of protesters attempted to storm the diplomatic compound in their southern port city. It sounds like the compound was pretty well fortified and armed to me. And then we got Trump Iranian Navy soon at the bottom of the sea after the U.S. sinks nine vessels. And he says the rest are going to follow suit. And then we got Operation Epic Fury. Trump gives a 36-hour update. He's giving one right now. And then we have, lastly, Israel reportedly co-opted a major Iranian prayer app to encourage millions of defections and resistance. This is just, you know, you can never put anything past the Israelis, you know. Remember the pager bombs? Israel reportedly co-opted a popular Iranian prayer app. Now, remember, they cut off all internet and communication. And Saturday, they were sending mass notifications urging defections from the Islamic regime. And it gives the name. It's called the Bajsaba calendar app. It utilizes extensive reach inside Iran. And they help users track daily prayer times, religious observances. According to the Wall Street Journal, it's logged in more than 5 million downloads on Google Play Store alone, giving operators access to vast domestic audience. And so and one push notification. It targeted members of the Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Corps and the regular army, urging them to abandon their post. And it said the era of dictators is over. Lay down your arms and join your people. Help us arrive. And it goes on and on from there. So when we come back from a commercial break, we'll talk about that. But you gotta love the way that the Israelis roll. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, they've had over 250,000 deployments with no injuries or deaths. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to your sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common sense approaches has ever come along. It's a great solution. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandiero with Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com, and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton, retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, and the founder of The Wounded Blue at TheWoundedBlue.org. We've been talking about the U.S. and Israeli strikes against Iran, and I just went through all the most recent headlines. I did see that. What was it? Kuwait that just shot down three of our F-15s by mistake. They were taking incoming missiles from Iran, and I think that our jets were up there helping them out, and they took three F-15s, and we had six people eject, and they're okay. But yeah, there's in war, you know, there's little things that can happen. But I just heard that this morning. But any more commentary on the war, guys? I'm just so excited that we're finally doing something, so, and that we have a president willing to do it. Randy?
Well, I think now's a good transition point to where law enforcement has a nexus here. And we saw it in Texas. We saw a mass shooting occur yesterday in Texas, in Austin, where a mass shooter at 2:30 in the morning attacked a bar and grill.
Let me cover that. That's the next story. So let me cover that real quick. This, we're going there. TampaFP.com is the source. Potential terrorism investigation after Sunday morning shooting in Texas leaves three people dead. And so a chaotic night, Austin's premier entertainment district. On Sunday morning, a gunman opened fires in crowds outside a place called Buford's. Randy's probably pretty familiar with that place. It's on West 6th Street. Three people end up getting killed, 14 other people injured. It's interesting how it went down. The shooter, I'm not going to give his name out, but he's a naturalized U.S. citizen originally from, and I don't even know if I've heard of this place. Is Senegal or Senegal? I've never heard of Senegal, but anyhow, he was shot and killed by police at the scene. And it happened around 2:00 in the morning. Bars were preparing to close, which means, you know, this place is going to get flooded with people. Austin police reported that the suspect initially, he circled the block in a large SUV several times, activated his hazard lights, lowers the window, and he takes a pistol and he starts firing into the crowd on the Buford's patio and on the sidewalk. I mean, horrific, right? Following the initial drive-by, he drives westbound, parks on Wood Street, exits the car. This time, he's got a rifle now. And then he starts shooting at pedestrians while walking back toward the center of the entertainment district. Now, we've got our officers. So we've got Austin PD. They're already patrolling nearby. They respond within seconds, encounter this dude at an intersection, and three officers light him up and kill him. And paramedics actually were on the scene within 57 seconds of the one at the 1:59 a.m. dispatch call. They got there in less than a minute. Of the 17 patients treated, three died at the scene. 14 were rushed to the hospitals, including three in critical condition. The FBI joined the investigation. They're working with local police, and they say a specific motive has not been determined, but they indicated the evidence suggests potential nexus for terrorism. Representative Chip Roy shared additional details. Now, look, this is a representative saying this. I wouldn't say they've been verified, but I did see a photograph stated that very troubling facts from officials saying the suspect was wearing that shirt said property of Allah that we saw, that a Quran was found inside of his SUV, and that he was naturalized as a citizen about a decade ago. Randy Sutton.
I also believe they in the search they found an Iranian flag in his home, and I think what this I think what the takeaway here is that in this terrorism that is going to be, you know, we've always thought that there were sleeper cells that have been in place here in the United States, and especially with the, you know, the incredible onslaught of illegals that were allowed in the into this country under the previous administration. We don't know, of course, all the history of this individual, but since he's been here so long, was he radicalized prior to this? Was he radicalized by an outside influence? These are the questions that are going to have to be asked. But what I really want to point out here is that law enforcement is on the front lines. It is law enforcement who's going to be battling people like this. And thank goodness that the Austin PD really revealed their training and their commitment in killing this guy very, very quickly. He was dead within a minute of the call, from what I understand. That is commitment. And unfortunately, every police agency in this nation, all 18,000 of them have to be just as committed to the reality that terrorism can strike anywhere. And every cop in America has to be on the alert for any car stop that they make, any call that could lead them into an ambush. And so every cop in America needs to be on high alert themselves.
Excellent point, Randy. You know, I'm going to bed, it's sleeping better because I don't have to worry about a nuclear warhead coming from Iran now, making it all the way over to this country. But the aftermath of that, the sleeper cells, we've had open borders for 4 years during the Biden administration. And so it's not if we have them, they are here. And even Pam Bondi was talking, your AG, about that recently, the Congress, within the last 24 hours. Guys, you have to have your heads on the swivel. They're looking for soft targets, places where you're going to be with your wife and stuff. If you are active retired law enforcement and able to carry and not, huge mistake and a missed opportunity. Cause I'm going, if something goes down, I'm wanting to be the guy to be there. Hopefully you guys are in the same mindset to where, you know, you want to, you know, this is what we've been training for all of our lives, you know, and we don't want anything bad to happen, but if it does, we want to be able to do the right thing. So, and yeah. I still want to back off like Anthony Bandero. I just want one of those guns.
I'm anti-gun, actually. I show this as these are weapons of war, Chip. I don't believe in it.
Oh, you know, I remember doing a live show.
I know.
Anthony, and here it comes. He knows where I'm going. We're doing a live show not long ago, and we're doing a live stream on YouTube. This is before they yanked. This is before they stopped. They killed our live stream because Anthony goes over, goes off camp, comes back on, and what's he holding? He's holding a rifle. What rifle were you holding, Anthony, that caused us to get kicked off of YouTube?
I think it was the Honey Badger, but I'm not positive.
Yeah. And so immediately we get kicked off of YouTube. They kill the stream because they have a rule about, you know, you can do as long as it's not a live stream, apparently you can handle a weapon, but during a live stream, you're handling a weapon.
Yeah, like, you know, to prevent active shooters, you know, and so forth. And I get it, but I didn't realize that was a rule. And yeah, I got Chip in big trouble, Randy. Big trouble. That's what I do around here.
I didn't realize it was a rule.
I hope he sent you a bill, Anthony. I hope he sent you a bill for this.
Yeah, he sent me a bill. All right.
Maybe it was because when you pointed the gun at the camera. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Was that
maybe,
what it was?
When I was just practicing on you. I just said, Chip.
That red dot. I think I left a permanent mark on my shirt somewhere. Yeah, that red dot on that.
Yep.
Hey, I do have MVS, the winner of the set of gloves on Rumble, asking. Randy's sitting there smoking a cigar, and I think MVS is he's wondering if you got the cigars that he sent you, and I'm sure he's wondering if that might be one of the cigars.
Stand by. Oh.
Well, here. Well, thank. Well, at least we know that Randy's wearing pants because, you know, that remember that one show that was the other show that we got kicked off of YouTube for. You know, when Randy stood up and
MVS, thank you. These are beautiful cigars that you sent. They are absolutely lovely, and I am saving them for a very special occasion because these are absolutely gorgeous cigars. Thank you so much for them. And
what Chip, are they?
You need this. They are Padrones, and I mean they are top quality Padrones. This is the cigar of the year sampler. So I've got some. I mean, they are just gorgeous.
I am jealous.
Look at that.
Wow.
Somebody's got good taste. Look at that.
So I need, unfortunately, MVS, you didn't send me your address in the, so I can't reciprocate, but I'm going to send you a couple things when you send Chip your address and I can get some stuff to you.
There you go. All right. Cool. Well, we will get that done. So there you go. All right. So any final words on this Texas thing, or none of us live in Texas, so.
Well, I think this is the first, but it won't be the last.
Oh no, no, you're right, and we will cover it. So, guys, please, if you're watching the show and all your friends, family, I mean, even with my wife and stuff, guys, you got to keep your head on the swivel, especially now. It's not if it's going to happen. It's when you got these wackos, these wackadoos. They just don't think rational. Remember what's been whispered in their ears all their lives. We got a lot of them over here, and they're just looking for opportunities. And we're gonna give them a chance to go meet some virgins. So
hey, look, I'll say something just real quick. I mean, I teach a class called LEOSA, which is the Law Enforcement Safety Act, right? And look, a lot of people listening to this, they qualify for LEOSA. They have that 10 plus years, or they're medically retired. Guys, I hope you are. You know, Chip is talking about carrying. You can carry in every state. And, you know, go to blue2gold.com. We actually have a free class on this and what the rules are. It's very powerful. You got to call every year. You got to call every year. That's the only issue.
Yeah. A lot of guys still call it HR 218. But, yep, LEOSA, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act. It's a great thing I carry under using LEOSA. Great stuff. Guys, commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns and we deal with ammo every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules for the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist by attending a seminar. And, you know, back since 2011, they've been giving these seminars and having huge success. And they've been meeting with gun manufacturers and federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. You guys will be very glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable, the leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandero from bluethegold.com, Lieutenant Randy Sutton from thewoundedblue.org. I see we got Robin Mims on there, and Terry, been thinking about you, buddy, and, you know, John Cox and some others. So thanks, guys, for watching. Appreciate it. A little flex cups work better for dates, Anthony.
that's John Cox on Facebook.
Wow. And wow, I wasn't expecting that one, you know. Well, but no, thanks, guys. Real quick, I know
that's the voice of experience.
We're going to go to we're going to cover a couple updates, but I want to get a video in real quick here. So let's cover this one first. Rumble.com. This is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Man in critical condition after a shootout with police and a bullet hits the officer's hat.
The hamburger place. What's up, bud?
How's it going?
Good. What's your name again?
Jason.
Nicholson. Behind Mars, Hamburger, Clinton, and West.
Who?
Jason.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Really put your hands behind the back.
Huh?
Jason.
No.
Jason, we're
please
not.
Please stop.
Jason.
Look.
I will tase you.
No.
Jason.
I don't.
I'm not asking.
I'm not on parole or nothing.
Jason.
We're I'm not on parole.
Jason.
Stop.
Jason.
Stop.
Stop.
Stop, man.
Jason.
Stop.
I'm going to dump you, bro.
Dude, stop.
Jason. Hey, stop. What are you doing?
Stop, man.
Jason.
Stop. Let go, man. Let
Jason.
Go.
Jason.
Let go me.
Jason.
Let go of me.
Jason.
Let go.
I'm going to drop you right now.
Let go. No, you're not. Let go.
Oh, shit. Shots fired. Shots fired. It's going to be Nicholas. Jason. Give us the air. Give us Eunice now. Shots fired. Give us the air. We got.
Now, this is one of the two videos where what I read happened and what I see happens. It appears like there's a couple different things going on. But I'm going to go from the report first. So we're in Fresno, California. A 41-year-old man has been arrested following an officer-involved shooting on Sunday night in Fresno. Now, the department said that shortly after 7 o'clock in the evening, officers attempted to make contact with a guy in an alleyway. The guy's on a bicycle. The man was not cooperative with police right off the bat. Eventually, pulls a firearm and shoots at the officer. The officer was not hurt. The bullet went through his hat, apparently, and the suspect runs away. And this is where it kind of gets a little crazy. It says that officers swarmed the area using drones and canine units as they searched for the suspect for about an hour and 15 minutes. But when I watched the video, and I was watching for a break in the video, it looks like it was continuous. It looks like there was another shooting. They got the bad guy right away. So I can't explain that. But at around 8:15, officers were seen detaining the suspect, put him in handcuffs. And the department said that after speaking with negotiators, that was never in the video, the man turned himself in over willingly. He had one injury to the upper torso. Doesn't say what that was, but he took in a lot of gunfire and he goes to the hospital. He's 41-year-old Bradley Nicholson, reported to be in critical but stable condition. And they're going to charge him with attempted murder on a police officer. And just going back to my show notes and stuff, this officer and this guy are, the officer puts his hand on the guy, calling him by his first name, and the guy isn't being cooperative. But then the guy like drops a backpack or a pouch or something on the ground. And when they show it in slow motion, they circle where the gun's actually at. And you see the guy reach down. I don't think the cop noticed and pulls the gun. And then you hear, boom, shot goes off. Apparently it goes to the cop's hat. The guy starts running away. Cop draws his weapon, fires one shot. And then the cop loses sight of him. But then just seconds later, you hear gunfire and another cop. We have a video of that. Not a great video, but the other cop takes him, shoots him, and then they go 10-15. So we got a little discrepancy on how it happened, but we got a video of the important thing. And thank God the cop didn't get shot in the head. Randy Sutton.
I'm telling you, once again, this is such a perfect demonstration how every single encounter can lead to a fatal encounter or a deadly force encounter. And, you know, we have seen the unfortunate reality of police officers hesitating to use deadly force in appropriate circumstances because of the politicization that's taken place across America, where literally they're afraid of getting charged or, you know, being put under suspension. I mean, we have our next story is about an officer who is getting cleared from a low lethality use of force that resulted in death. And it took 2 years to clear him. So this is part of the problem of leadership, that we are not training our cops to be warriors. We're training our cops to be afraid of circumstances after they use deadly force. And this hesitancy is killing cops.
Well, thanks. You know, Anthony, this is one of those situations where the glove would have been ideal. The glove would have prevented this from even happening.
Right, right. He just goes hands on with the guy and then he's being resistive and then boom, just go, you know, the glove him up.
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah. Well, if you guys are okay, we've got a little less than 5 minutes and we're going to jump to the California Global Ordnance News.com. California officer cleared at a man's death resulting from beanbag rounds. And so we're in, this is one Randy wanted to talk about as well, Fullerton, California. So this Fullerton police corporal fires 5 beanbag rounds at a guy acting erratically, completely justified. He's swinging a belt in front of a McDonald's. This happened about 2 years ago, like Randy said, and He is just now found to be have been justified in doing so by the Orange County District Attorney's Office. 2 years this guy's been, you know, waiting for this, which released a report on his investigation on Thursday, February the 26th. Now there were five beanbag rounds. The fifth beanbag round fired by the corporal on March the 6th, 2024, pierced the chest cavity of the 50-year-old bad guy, Alejandro Campos Rios of Buena Park, caused him to bleed profusely, and he died at the scene. Now, the DA's office concluded that the corporal reasonably believed, because of Campos Rios' erratic behavior, that he was a threat to harm himself or others, namely McDonald's employees who were in the restaurant and not far from him when the corporal actually fired the fifth, well, fired all the beanbag rounds, including the fifth one. And here's a quote saying there is substantial evidence that his actions were reasonable and justified under the circumstances. And I'm reading this saying, why in the world did it take 2 years then? Randy.
This is happening across America too. These use of force investigations, especially deadly force investigations, are now, remember, think of the humanity here, that this officer has been living with this nightmare for 2 years. And we have seen district attorneys' offices that have returned indictments, that have arrested officers years after an encounter. And don't think that every cop that's reading this story or that knows of this is not, you know, perceiving, hey, even if I use lower lethality munitions, I can still be under investigation. I can still be charged. And the fact that it took 2 years, there's no excuse for that. There is no excuse for that. I just feel sorry for the officer. I just wonder about his mental health and you know, the other officers are dealing with. Now, this is another example. They tried to use a taser. It didn't work. So they used low lethality. But remember, this isn't no lethality. It's low lethality. So it's unusual that a beanbag would cause death, but it can happen just like a taser can happen as well. It can lead to death. So once again, we have these tools available for these officers. And even when they use them, they can wind up being prosecuted.
Yeah. I mean, they have the term less lethal for a reason, but again, I not to beat a drum to death, but you know, the glove, it's not a less lethal, it's a non-lethal because they've never had an injury or death from it ever. And over 250,000 deployments, which is pretty freaking impressive, you know?
Sure is.
But you're bringing up a good point, Randy, just because you're using a less lethal, or non-lethal or whatever, you're liable for what happens because of that, you know, even if it's a rare occasion where less lethal is going to create death like
so,
it did in this
so
case.
So I have a personal story about this. So we got
a minute and 20 seconds and we had that other story, the New York story. So whatever you want to, your story or New York.
I'll tell my story because it's more interesting.
Okay.
So I used a low lethality shotgun on an individual that we had surrounded. And all the officers had cover. This individual had a gun, and he was taking the gun. And at one point, he had the gun to his head, and he was holding it by the barrel, right? He didn't have his finger in the trigger guard. So I popped him with the low lethality, took him into custody. And I wound up getting suspended for doing it because my chain of command said that I deployed low lethality against lethal force. And so I was suspended for it. Just talking. Oh.
They want you to shoot him is what they're saying.
That's exactly right. It was and so, you know, the union tried to fight it and they just said, too bad, you're suspended.
No, look, if I was there, I would have said, Randy, you should have aimed that low lethality shotgun towards the trigger guard of his gun so he can close on it right. up.
Well, and that's a write-up that I would wear as a badge of honor, which I'm sure you
exactly,
did.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
Well, guys, it's been another great show. Attorney Anthony Bandero from the Wounded Blue. I just switched companies from Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com.
I'm still waiting for Anthony Bandero's check. Where's that check coming, Anthony?
And Randy Sutton with the Wounded Blue.
and he turns his camera off.
And we got 30 seconds, Randy, to give a shout out for the Wounded Blue and what you got going on.
Yeah, the Wounded Blue is National Assistance and Support Organization. We just saved another who had life-changing surgery that we paid for that is going to bring him back to the ability to walk and lead a normal life. And so the woundedblue.org, see who we are, see what we do, and give what you can.
Anthony. All right. And they do take monthly donations. Hey, shout out to Goals.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and TubeBells.com. Thanks for watching the show. We see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.